I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance's Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, we are all the way to number 12 in the top 40 countdown, and this is another one with my brother. This was about a year and a half after we recorded the first one. So if you've been listening to the top 40 countdown, you already know I have some emotions about this. I believe he was telling the truth in this episode about where he was with his sobriety, but there's no way to really know.
I suspect it took a turn to going full bore back to everything after my dad passed away. But it's hard to tell, you know? But this was him a year and a half after he had OD'd, and he had went and lived with my parents for a little while, my mom and my stepdad in Korea, while he recovered. And at this time, I believe he was, still living with my aunts, who were just letting him stay in the extra room at their place while he got on his feet, and he was in the process of getting on his feet, both figuratively and literally, since he had to relearn to walk. Anyway, interesting insight of someone who, at the time, was fairly fresh off of their lowest point and still trying to maintain their sobriety from, the things that they were addicted to. So I hope you enjoy this, and I hope it gives you some insight to addiction. And if you're struggling with your addiction, reach out. Even though it's embarrassing and you're embarrassed and full of shame and feel like shit, your people around you love you even when you convince yourself they don't. So don't be afraid to say you need help, because no one can help you if they don't know, and everyone assumes everyone's fine because we're fucking, I don't know why we do that, but we do. Anyway, here's episode 12. When the buzz fades, life after an episode, life after an overdose with my brother, Tom. Hey, idiot. Hey, idiots.
I'm dying slowly, aren't we all?
Cue the Anchorman quotes. Hey, idiots, I'm here with my brother, Tom. He's back. He's better than ever. Or better than the one time when I interviewed him when he was objectively at the worst point in his life.
I'm also fat now.
He's not fat. He is a healthy size, and I fat shamed him for being a normal sized person because he was a sick person. And he will not let it go.
I'm fat.
That's right. I fat shamed him.
It's okay.
So the internet's going to get mad at me now.
Hold on. They're not.
You guys, I have been fine this entire time, and then as soon as I turn on the microphones, I'm choking to death. All right. Let's get into it. That was what, like almost a year and a half ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
So the last my listeners heard from you, you were in the hospital.
Yeah. Except that one guy. And you called mom and he was like, hi.
Oh, you guys, I did a Patreon, my very first, I don't know if I've talked about this, my Patreon Google Hangs. I didn't really know what I was doing when I offered that as a thing because I don't know how to use Google Hang. So, good Lord, I'm so sorry for all the coughing. Hang on.
Get it out.
So I set it up. It's supposed to just be like, I think what we do now is like, I'm just on a video and people have the option if they want to like turn their camera on, they can, but most people just like type and talk and I just answer questions and we chat and whatever. But like, it was a group thing, but I just started it and my mom was on my Patreon. She's like a patron. So it called the phone number she had listed. But that phone, she had got a new phone and given that to my brother when he went to stay with him in Korea, which I guess we'll talk about a little.
Yeah.
So my brother answers the phone, and at that point, it was just one other patron on the line. So he answers the phone, and it's just he's in a video chat, and all he sees is me and just some strange man. As far as like he knows, he's like, what's happening?
It's like high school all over again.
Oh, God. That's not true. Guys didn't talk to me in high school. All right, let's get into it, because I'm not going to stop choking, I guess.
Let's do it.
So, do you remember how long you were in the hospital?
Ooh, like 3 months?
3 months.
3 months.
And then, when you left the hospital, were you actually, like, ready to leave the hospital, or were they just like, your insurance is up, bitch, you're out?
Oh, I don't have insurance. I have a fucking pretty big bill looming over me.
Oh, so you're just, like, hiding out from a hospital bill?
No, I'm not hiding out. The lady there, she's super nice. Her name's Penny, if you listen in, Penny. I highly doubt you will, but anyway. She's super nice, and she's trying to get me to, like, get disability, which I got denied for. That's a whole nother story.
Really? Yeah. You weren't disabled enough?
I guess not. Like, they sent me to a physical examination, and the guy's like, I don't know why you're here. I bone doctor. English is his probably second language.
Hi, bone doctor.
Yeah, he's like, you know bone. I was like, no bone. No, just muscle. He's like, oh, you lift weights, walk, you'll be okay.
Oh.
Shake, walk it off, buddy.
Walk it off. Yeah. Ah, the American medical system. Yeah. Walk it off. Okay, so like what was, when you left the hospital, first of all, like what was the condition of your body?
It was safe enough to let the hospital let me leave without incurring any like.
Did you have to have like a routine, like as far as like, because you still had some like open wounds, right?
Yeah, no, the one on my bottom was
your
open.
Booty.
Yeah, my non-existent ass. They took
a cheek.
I didn't have one, but yeah, no, they had a nurse come. It started off at 3 times a week, and then she came twice a week, and then once a week
to like what,
change the dressing and
the
like
dressing.
I had a wound vac. Like, so it was like this big vacuum thing.
Yeah, what is a wound vac?
Like a purse. It's like a purse type deal, but it has like a suction thing and a little canister that sucks up all the, you know, shit
gunk
that leaks out of your wound.
So it was like going into your butt? You had a purse going into
kinda
your butt?
It was more like a suction cup type dealie with a hose attached to it. And as long as it was sealed, it would like suck out all the nasty and put
how
it in
how do they do
container
that without sucking out like your tissue?
I think it was healed up enough. I'm not a doctor, but like I think
what
it was healed, yeah, I know. Shocking. I think it was healed up enough to where they were like, okay, well, you know, none of his muscle fiber is going to go, and I think we're going to be okay here. They just want to make sure you're not going to fucking sue him. That's all they care about.
Yeah, they're like, we don't actually care if you get. We just want you to get well enough that we can't be blamed.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's fine.
So, oh Jesus.
Yeah, it was cool.
The
nurse was nice.
Was that painful?
Yeah, it was painful. I mean, they give you like. That you go from leaving the hospital where they're giving you like IV morphine or Dilaudid, which I mean for an addict is probably not that great, but I mean they do
it.
But anyway.
Also is like heaven.
Yeah, and they need it and you need it. So like they're like, look, man, we're gonna give you some morphine. So the day 2 days before I got out, this dude was changing my dressing and he fucked up and like I was in a lot of pain and he felt really bad, so another doctor came in to change it. And they gave me like a double dose of Dilaudid. And then the next day, he was like probably the gayest person I've met until recently, which was Matt O.
Oh, on our cruise,
yeah,
our family cruise.
Great, awesome. But anyway, he came in with a big thing of like whey protein that he bought from GNC.
So funny because like, I live in West Hollywood. It's just so funny to me that that was the most innocent. Like, I just have never met anyone that gay.
Yeah, no. he was super gay. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And he gave me a big thing of whey protein. He's like, you drink this 3 times a day, you will get fatter. And I was like, oh, yeah. And apparently it worked.
Were you drinking it?
Yeah, I drank it. I took it home from the hospital with me.
You needed to bulk up, man. You were like, you looked like a skeleton with skin on it.
I did. I was bad. I was like skinny little bitch before, but like when I got...
Yeah, you were always a skinny dude, but like that was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was like a skeleton. It was bad.
I was like, are we sure he's not dead?
Yeah, I saw pictures of myself, like the year thing on my little Facebook.
Oh, God.
Popped up and I was like, oh, God, I had like the fucking ports in my neck for the dialysis. And I was like, oh, Jesus, look at me. Look so helpless and sad. I'm like, please.
And you like had a crusty beard. It was like splotchy.
Oh, it was so good. Because
you have like the blonde guy beard where it's like, A, it's blonde, but it like was grown in and splotchy.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
And you're like, I'm feeling better. And I was like, well, you don't look
you
any
look
better,
like
but
death.
I'm not gonna say that on this photo you just posted.
Just grows in all white trashy like that. It's in my DNA. Come
probably
out,
is.
It is.
We'll find out. 23andMe.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Found out I was 25% trash can.
Who knew? Yeah, the families, I think they're worried. They're like, what if we're Jewish?
Yeah, yesterday. Okay, so you guys, like, back up or backstory on this. So I've probably talked about my 23andMe a little on the podcast, but there was for like a birthday Christmas thing. I asked my mom and brother if they would want to do it, so they could see their like heritage and stuff, and like relatives, and they both said yes. So they did it. And we're still waiting the results, but like yesterday, wasn't that weird? Terry's like, do you even want to know about that stuff, Tom?
I was like, yeah.
And I'm like, you're not even in our blood family, our stepdad. It's like, what do you care? What's the family going to do when they find out like they're Jewish? Because I found out I was Jewish, but mom's like, that must be from the other side. Like,
I don't think so.
It's like, your last name's Fink, and you guys are like, it would make so much sense for them to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like, our family acts like Italian or Jewish. Just very loud, funny.
We have the blonde hair and blue eyes, so, I mean.
I don't have blue eyes.
No, you don't.
I have green eyes.
Crazy. Whose kid are you?
Who knows?
We'll find out soon.
I've been trying to find out for years.
I know it ain't that man who's called Daddy. Yeah. Anyway. Shit, I got sidetracked. How did we get on this?
I don't know.
Oh, because I said it's in your DNA.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you leave... So 2 days before you left, they gave you all that Dilaudid?
Yeah, Dilaudid.
Dilaudid.
Yeah, Dilaudid.
Oh, so that your brain is diluted. sorry, you guys, by the way, I have a cough drop in because I'm disgusting. When you left, were you on like some dose of painkillers?
Yeah, they oh man.
Like, was there a plan to wean you down, or they just...
I guess they just gave me a bottle with like 35 milligram Oxycontins.
And they're like, this is all you get.
Yeah, they're like, This is what it is, junkie. I was like, all right, yeah, that's cool. All right. And then they gave me Flexerol, which I've done Oxy in the past, and I've done Flexerol in the past recreationally.
What is Flexerol?
It's just like a it's like a muscle relaxer.
So you've recreationally done both of those.
Yeah. And Flexerol makes you sleep like a goddamn baby. And opiates, my brain's just wired weird. So, like, I'm alert and awake on opiates. So.
Oh, so when you do opiates, you're, like, up. Yeah. Is it like an upper for you?
Yeah, it's like an upper for me. Like, it doesn't make, like, most people fall down and drool on themselves. Not me. I want to, like, clean the house and, like, run a marathon.
Oh.
So, I mean, my brain's just wired that way. So, it's
that's interesting.
But they gave me those, and, I mean, I took them. I threw the last ones in the toilet. Like,
yeah,
the last five. Yeah, I was like,
you were just like, let me just go clean.
Yeah, I don't
want to
cold
do turkey
these anymore and shit. So,
oh, that's good. Were you doing just one a day? Were you doing?
No, it was like as needed for pain.
Okay,
like I realized that I was taking like four or five a day some days just to fall asleep with Flexerol.
And you're like, oh, this is gonna be
not gonna be good.
Yeah.
So I flushed the last like probably four or five.
Oh man. How did that moment feel?
It felt good, man. I was like, you know what, man? I'm all fucked up from like going out of the hospital, and like I'm in some pain. Like, I mean, I don't have feeling in my legs still, but like
the full leg.
Yeah, no, I can feel like my thigh, like right mid calf area, it gets a little numb, and so that's why I didn't realize my ankle was all like fucking.
Yeah, he had like a swollen foot on the cruise, probably just from like walking around on it.
It was from.
But like we all were like, what the fuck happened? He's like, I don't know, I didn't feel it. I was like, make sure you didn't step on something and cut yourself. Got an infection, but
that was fine. And my doctor uncle, who's a nice man, he's like, I think it's just from your overuse. You're gonna be fine. Walk it off.
Yeah, walk it off. That's what they teach you in medical school.
Walk it off. You'll be good.
First step is tell them to walk it off, and then if they come back, try to diagnose it. Yeah,
definitely. So
tell them it's in their brain, and that they're crazy.
It's all an illusion.
Did you go through
withdrawal? No. It was such a low dose. I mean, they were like...
You were already like, had been weaned off from laying in the hospital, like, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, they give you like opiates in the hospital because of what like I went through with the surgeries and shit. So I've experienced dope sickness before, like just being an addict. But
yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like an iota of dope sickness coming off of like the stuff from
the hospital.
Yeah.
How long, when you first got to the hospital, because I know you don't really remember, but like... Did somebody tell you, do you have an estimate of like how many days you were kind of like fully out of it?
Ooh, no.
Because I'm wondering if maybe like...
Probably better than a week. Like I went through detox then.
You don't even really like...
That's probably like exactly what happened. I mean, they don't really tell you. They're like, oh, by the way, you're in acute withdrawal. They don't kind of fill you in that kind of stuff. So
they're just like...
Which is good. They're like, hey, you almost died, buddy. We saved you. And you're like, okay. They're like, look, we're not going to tell you this now, but when you get out, you're going to fucking have a huge bill.
Yeah. We don't want to stress you out, but we will later when you're healthy enough to handle it.
Living is more expensive than dying.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so true. And then also, I mean, I have so many, like, not even conspiracy theories, but, like, about the American medical system and how it's like, yeah, no, like, they don't want poor people to stay alive.
No, they don't. Like, I mean, they do if they have, like, a chance of getting a job, then they can,
well,
like,
if you contribute to society and, like, give taxes. But, like, other than that, they're like, yeah, we don't really care if you don't have good health care. Like, just...
They don't care.
What is that
business.
Quote from... what's that Charles Dickens A Christmas Story? If they're going to die, they might as well do it and decrease the surplus population.
That's kind of where we're
Ebenezer Scrooge. Yeah, that's basically where we are.
My idol.
Okay, so from that moment, because you came and lived, was it immediately you came?
Yeah,
you're living with our aunts now.
Yeah,
we have twin aunts like Patty and Selma from The Simpsons. They're
lovely people.
They're the best.
The death, man. They really are.
They're angels.
They're the glue that holds this crazy family together.
My God, they are. okay, so shit.
What do I want to say? Okay, so when you first came here, because, like, you kind of hadn't been, like, super close with the family for a few years.
No, I was, you start, like, living life as a
junkie. Your wayward life.
Yeah, just doing junky things. People are like, you know what, maybe we'll keep our distance from him, which is good for everybody involved, I think. Like,
I mean, maybe it's hard. You never know what the right thing to do is because it's, like...
It's different for every person.
Well, the instinct, it's like, I think a lot of people do this, like, denial, shut off, and, like, let me pretend that he's just living a good life and not worry about it. Or, like, people genuinely just thought you were doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And then also there's the, like, you know, it's like you can want to help someone, but at the end of the day...
They're going
to want to
help
trying to
first.
Stay, like, endlessly fixing someone. You can't fix somebody
that.
Else.
You're
going
to run yourself in the ground doing that.
Yeah, that's codependence.
Yeah, the person, like, has to want...
To get better.
I mean, otherwise, it's just you can send them to the nicest rehabs or you can do all this therapy. And the bottom line at the end of the day, if they don't want to get sober or clean or change their life around, you're just not going to be able to do it. Like, it's sad, but it's the truth. Like,
yeah, it's like you almost have to let go of, like, you just have to, like, I mean, I have come to the realization with just, like, people, like, all you can do, like, the best you can do for someone is, like, meet them where they're at and accept them and, you know, like, love them regardless and be like, I love you. And, you know, you can want them to get clean and let them know you're there to support them when they're ready to do that. But you just have to accept them for who they are.
You do. And that's a personal choice. Like, if you don't want to get clean or whatever, if you're having trouble, like, just do it, man. Just try it. I mean, fuck, obviously, like, it's something that you might want to give it a go. If you're like, my life is fucking terrible, that's why I do drugs. Just try going sober for a little bit. See how you like it. You know, just the tip. You don't have to dive in right away.
Well, how was it for you? So you were, like, totally clean. Were you drinking or smoking or anything?
I mean, cigarettes sometimes, but not when I first got out. I wasn't smoking cigarettes.
The girls were kind of, like, on lockdown, right? They're like, yeah. Nothing in the house.
Yeah, I was clean. Like, I've been clean since we got out. I went to Korea with my mom and I tried soju. Don't do it. It makes you poop a lot. But, I mean, I didn't...
Other guests of the show, Dulce Slow, would argue that was your fault and there's something wrong with you.
Probably was, because I hadn't drank in a long time, and I was like, well,
you probably tried to, like, drink?
No, I got, like, a bottle of it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's, like, a hard liquor.
Yeah, it's super, it's weird.
Did you think it was, like, a wine?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, a wine, or, like, something like that, and it wasn't, and I was, like, super hammered super fast, and I was like, this is not how I like to feel. This is just not something that I want.
Was that, like, because did you drink a lot before?
Like, before I went to the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drank all the time. So, like, that was, like, a normal feeling.
Yeah. And I was like, after you don't drink for a while, like, and you drink again, you're like, man.
Oh, this sucks.
Yeah. You're like, this is terrible. And then you wake up and you feel like shit for a day.
And you're like, why did I live like this?
What the fuck? I mean, well, if you're, like, an alcoholic, it doesn't. It's the reverse. Like, if you don't drink, you feel bad because you're going into DT. Like,
well, if you're constantly drinking, yeah.
If you're a chronic alcoholic and you're constantly drinking, you feel bad without the hooch. But, like, when you don't drink and then you put it in, you're like, oh, well, this is fucking poison. Jesus Christ.
So was that kind of the moment that you were, because I know you, like, don't even drink now. Was after that you were like, you know what? I'm not even going to.
Yeah, I was like, it's not worth it, man. I don't want to just feel like this. It's just a terrible feeling. You feel like shit for a day and a half and you feel great for, like, maybe an hour, maybe however long you can stay awake.
Yeah, and then you're like, it's not like you enjoy that feeling for a prolonged. Yeah,
no, you don't. There's no prolonged happiness in alcohol or drugs. It's just a temporary fix to a much larger problem.
Which is completely unsolvable.
It is. It makes that fucking, that problem just so much more bigger, worse. Yeah. Amplifies it. It's terrible.
Did you tried any type of, like, sobriety, what am I trying to say? Like, 12-step programs or, like, different things?
I've went to a couple of meetings, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think it's for me. I think, like, this self-evaluation is probably a lot more, like, cohesive to what I'm trying to do to stay sober. Like,
yeah.
You got to fix self, because if you're just going around, like, a lot of people go to AA and stuff for, like, the camaraderie or the fellowship. Like, I mean, people talk a lot about fellowship, which is great. And, like, I may try that just to have people, like, that I can hang around with. But, I mean, I can hang around people that are drinking and it doesn't really bother me.
It doesn't? You don't go, like...
I'm not like, oh, God, I want that. I don't want that. Because usually they're, like, fucking... They don't remember your name. And when you're sober, you recognize it square away.
They don't remember
your name, and they start telling you the same story they told you. Like, I noticed on the cruise a lot. Like, this lady, she's very tall, French, good looking. She was like, oh, she kept calling me fucking Simon. And I introduced myself like 8 fucking times there. And she kept calling me Simon. And I was... I didn't correct her or something. I didn't correct her anymore. I did
You're
it
like,
twice.
Whatever.
I was like, fuck it, I'm Simon now. She thinks I'm Simon. She's going to be like, I met this nice boy on the cruise. His name is Simon. He's a Sagittarius. Long walks on the beach, doesn't drink, has a dog. I think I might have told her I had a dog just to get out of like...
So you still lie in your sobriety?
I don't... I mean, shit, man. Fuck. You got to sometimes. Sometimes people are annoying and you don't be like, look, bitch, you're fucking annoying. Go away, drunkie. You don't want to do that. You want to just let them down
easy.
It's
so interesting, yeah, being the sober person and going like, it oh, is. God, was I like that?
That was me. You're like, was that me?
Yeah, that was you.
It was. I was probably way louder and like way more like, fucking bullshit, man. So, I mean, good times.
Were you drinking and doing drugs? Like, was that like a direct... Do you feel like you were directly using it as a coping mechanism, or was it just like a thing you had done for so long?
I think eventually
you felt like part of your identity.
It's a coping mechanism in any shape or form of drug addiction. Like,
yeah,
just because you don't want to feel like certain feelings, or like you don't like the way things are going, or
you don't like the way reality is.
Yeah, so you try to augment it any way you can, whether it's alcohol or drugs, or I mean, there's 1,000 ways to do it. Some people do it with food. Some people do it with sex. I mean, you just want that like chemical release, because in your brain, like your brain releases these chemicals like dopamine.
Yeah.
And it's all the same. You can get it doing things. People can get it running, like runners get it from a running high.
Yeah, people say that. I ran a marathon and it never hit, and I was pissed.
I was so that's supposed to be
I was like, when do I get high?
People say you can do it. I've never achieved it either. Maybe once, but it was long ago in a galaxy far away. I don't remember it. So
oh man. Yeah, that's interesting too, because it's like, well, theoretically, they're changing brain chemistry with like prescription antidepressants and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it does change your brain's chemistry, but you can change your brain's chemistry just by doing natural things.
Yeah, like what?
You can do like working out, stretching, yoga. I mean, there's things you can do. Like, I don't go to the yogi pond. I mean, I've been there once or twice, but it's really...
But it's right around the corner.
To look at butts. That's just me, though. But... I mean,
that's my new drug, looking at butts.
No, it doesn't suffice, but... Because I mean, then you're like, I want to touch them, and then then it gets creepy real fast. And you're like, I just maybe need to... I'm just going to stay home now.
I'm going to walk back to the mailbox.
Walk it off. I'm going to walk it off.
I'm going to go stare out at the pool, think about my life.
Yeah, and just analyze some shit. Be like, why am I like this?
Do you have new things you do?
Yeah, I mean, I wake up, and I have a cup of coffee. I stretch. I mean... I go for a walk. I put these ankle weights on because the no angle doctor, he was like, it'd probably help if you're fine. Walk with the weights. You do the exercise. You'll be fine. I was like, I'll be fine. Okay.
That's
you're a
good.
Doctor, right? I should listen to you. Don't just listen to doctors aimlessly, people. Just, you know.
Yeah, no, like consider, get a second opinion, consider things. Use critical thinking.
For real. The doctor's like, you need these pills. Be like, man, does a pharmaceutical company pay you to say that shit? They probably
do.
Yeah,
my doctor didn't even know. My rheumatologist originally didn't even know about like naturopathic, like the autoimmune protocol diet. She's like, what's that? And I was like, you're a rheumatologist. You should like at least be aware that there's foods
that,
that are...
It's not just here, take these drugs.
I say this and I'm like, but I haven't left her because she's nice.
Because she's...
She asks nice. About my comedy.
She sends a Christmas card. She's a swell gal.
She doesn't think I'm crazy. So that's good.
Does she know you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, only in the context of my...
Only until my insurance runs out.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck out of here, you psycho.
Yeah. Get out. So, like, right now, where are you at? Like, as far as... So, you're still living with the aunts.
Yeah.
What's the plan? Like, where... Like, what's your recovery at now?
A job is the plan. Like,
Because before, what were you doing for, like, work besides, you know...
Just cooking.
Drug.
Like, cooking
smuggling.
In a restaurant, food, people. Not, like, cooking crack or, like... methamphetamines. I was actually cooking.
Yeah.
So I mean that, and just like physical like stuff, you know, lawn maintenance.
Yeah, because I know you did like some like manual labor. Do you think you're fine to do that now? You've
I mean,
recovered?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. Ladders and me are still not on the best of terms.
Yeah.
So I've climbed a ladder recently, maybe like.
And you're
a
like,
month
I
ago.
Don't know if my.
Yeah, no, just like my equilibrium's still kind of off, and like so, like I notice it when I walk around and I try to look up at a plane because I live near an airport, and I'm like, I get a little, I'm a little wavy now because we just got off a fucking boat for 7 days, but
yeah.
So, but I
still
mean,
feel like I'm on the boat
before, yeah, for beforehand, like we went to a Bucks game. I was on the cane, so it was pretty. it was like 3 months after I got out. I think it was before I went to Korea.
Yeah.
And we went, and I was walking up the stairs after going to the bathroom, and I was like, all right, I had the cane, I had the handrail, and then Aunt Margaret was like, oh, look, look, there's skydivers, and I turned to look, and I was like, well, everything got like...
black?
No, it got like spinny, like I'd been drinking all day.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, oh, nope, nope. She's like, you didn't even see the guys there. I was like, I was trying not to fall down, like... So
it's like there's certain directions you turn your head that are like...
Yeah, so I think it's just an equilibrium problem. It's got a little bit better. Like, it's gotten... It's,
I imagine that probably compounds with, I mean, doing all those drugs, but also... Because when... You were on, like, your side when they found you, right?
Yeah,
like,
you were on my right side.
And that had a whole bunch... I mean, that's what fucked up your leg, is that, like, everything had went to...
Everything had just settled there, like, so... That's why they had to cut out the tissue and stuff, because it was all, like, dead...
Ugh. Oh man. Woo.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It was not the greatest time in my life, I'll tell you that.
Was there, when you first got out, were you like worried that you were going to be on like a cane?
Did that forever? Yeah. Well, I thought initially I thought I was going to be on this walker thing forever. And then Shelby had a
it doesn't matter.
Wedding. And we went and stopped and got a cane, and I just used that.
Which is like a family member. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Do you want me to cut it out?
No.
You stopped and got a cane?
Yeah, at the Walmart, and then I just used that, and it was like, it was pretty simple.
You were on the walker up until then, and you were like, let me try to at least be on a cane so I'm not on a walker.
Yeah.
Was that more like that vanity?
That may not have been her wedding, though. It might have been like before when we just went up there.
Yeah.
So.
How long were you on... So did you, after that, were you like, I'm going to switch to the cane?
Yeah, I'm just going to switch to the cane. I haven't used the walker since.
How long were you on the walk or the cane?
Ooh.
Did you use it in Korea?
In Korea, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, I was on it. And then I tried, like, just walking without it a couple times. Like, there was a little underground station not far from where Mom and Terry live, and I would just go there, and I'd walk it without the cane some days and go down and get a coffee or whatever and just, like, hang out and listen to the Korean folks speak Korean.
Were there ever days where you're like, where you'd get to the coffee and be like, yeah, I should have brought that cane.
No. I mean, like, one time, and it was really cold outside, and I was just like, man, you know, it'd probably be easy to have this, like, crutch.
Literally.
Literally, to, like, lean on, but it was fine. I mean, we went to the ice fishing festival. I didn't catch anything, but I had the cane there, and, like, I don't know if that helped.
A cane on ice?
Yeah, it was super bizarre. And plus, my footing was still off. Like, I mean, I think I do better on it now.
Yeah?
Like, whereas if I was, like, whole or like before I went to the hospital, I would just like skate on it, like, you know, just leave my feet like ice skates.
Yeah,
like, I'm having fun.
And instead you're like, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I was like, I think I'm,
why did you guys bring me here?
Oh, there's people going down left and right. I mean, like, able-bodied people, older people too, mostly older, which
just a bunch of old people falling down on the ice,
which was probably the best part about the trip. It was cold, I didn't catch any fish, but I mean, I had to hang out with Mom and Sarah, and that was cool. We went to like the rock soldiers were all there, so it was like a big jamboree in some town I can't pronounce in Korea.
Ching jong bong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yong song.
The hot chocolate tasted like
that. I just realized that,
oil.
Like, that sounded like I was just being racist, but I was literally like trying to like pronounce a town.
Yeah, no, it's they have a lot of dongs there. I mean,
yeah, they do.
Mei Ying Dong.
Downtown Seoul.
Yeah.
What was it like? Because our parents, I'm sure I've talked about it in an episode, but our mom and her stepdad, they met in a 12-step program. Like, they've been sober forever. And I know you're not supposed to, like, it's anonymous, but my mom literally checks into them on Facebook, so I don't care.
Yeah,
sure. What was it like having to go stay with them for a few months after after you, like, had this huge...
Interesting. It was cool. Like, I mean, I had a good time. I would go to AA meetings with them. That's a unique experience.
Going to AA meetings with because we used to get dragged there as kids.
Well, yeah, but
now going as like
as an addict and an alcoholic, you're sitting in a room and everybody's just like looking at you.
Wait, like, what's his story?
Yeah, what's up with you? I didn't really share a lot. Like, I think I shared like one time, but there was some nice people there. This a guy who asked to be Terry Sponsey. He was fairly younger, and like, I mean, he was all right. We talk about mostly just shoes and stuff and sports. I mean, I like shoes.
What did they ever, did they just sort of go like, we're going to a meeting, come with us? Or like, did you guys ever talk about what happened?
No, not really talk about it. Just kind of, it is what it is. Like,
yeah,
we'd go to meetings, and I mean, they're pretty cool. You meet like English speaking people there, which is really nice. And a lot of the meetings they'd go to were like the newcomer meetings are like soldiers who had got caught doing something, so they had to go to like recovery meetings. So they'd arrive on a big bus and like from the treatment center on base.
There's all the people that like mandatory meetings.
Yeah, and there was some really there was some really fantastic people in there. Just like a young gay boy named Paul. He's adorable. I think he wasn't even legally old enough to drink, and he celebrated his 21st birthday in the recovery program
Army
had sent him to. And he's like, so I'm 21 and I'm not gonna be able to drink. Yes, queen.
So, That's funny.
Mean, he was a good guy though. He's just really young and just, you know, he got caught doing something he shouldn't have done in the Army or whatever branch of the service he was in, and they made him go to these meetings.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but I'm pretty certain they probably piss test him, and they probably have implemented programs to make sure you're not fucking off.
Yeah, because they're like, you're over here. Well, whatever, you know.
Yeah, we don't want you making America look bad. We do a great enough job of that on our
own. Yeah, like keep that at home. Yeah,
we don't need help.
Yeah. We don't need any more help. Do you think so, like, they never asked you about what really happened or like?
I mean, I don't really remember a whole lot of what happened. Like, I mean, some of it, I went out after I worked, I got like a little bit of money from this dude, and I went out to a bar and like was drinking, playing pool, you know, having a good time, and some dude was like, hey man, I got some blow. I was like, okay, cool.
And then it all
went down.
Spiraled.
Yeah, it did.
But like, did they ever, so I guess not. Do you think our parents were aware that you had a problem?
Yeah.
Or do you think it was like,
I'm totally sure they were aware I've had a problem. They got eyes, and like they were there for some of it. They know.
Did they ever like say anything about it, or just kind of?
I mean, Terry's broached it. He's like, you know, you probably stopped drinking. I mean, Mom was gone most of the time, but like, I mean, they knew, and they're like, you know, when you come, there's always a seat for you. Like,
they would always bring it up.
Yeah, they'd be like, you know, you can always.
I can't imagine, because like they would mention it just because I was in college and would go to parties, and it's like. Like, I would have a drink, and they'd be like, you know, it runs in the family.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Like, it does. But, I mean, I think just, it's not just the drinking. It's addiction in general.
Yeah.
Just runs in our family. I don't know if you inherit that. I don't think there's, like, an addiction gene that.
Yeah, what would you, in your mind, like, in your humble addict opinion, what do you think is the line, like, percentage-wise of, like, nature versus nurture for something like that?
Ooh.
Like, do you think, like, genetics versus, like, a learned thing?
I'd give it a fair 60-40.
60 genetics?
Yeah, 60 genetics and 40 environment.
Like, yeah.
That's where I'd put it. Like, because if you're around that stuff all the time, you have a choice. Like, if you have a choice. But if it's in your genetics, you don't really have a choice. So, I mean,
the addiction, you don't have a choice. But how do you feel about, like, do you think, like, if it's in your genetics, it's like, okay, well, if you just don't ever start.
Well, I mean, if it's in your genetics, I think maybe you're in a better spot to not become an addict, because you have all this influence around you from a very young age that you're seeing this and what it can do to families and people, just like turning people that you love and you're supposed to care for into like people you don't even fucking know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big eye opener for people who grow up around it. But I mean, some people, it doesn't help. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, what's weird about that is that like, that's totally true. But then on the other hand, it's like if you grow up in a house with like alcoholics and addicts, which we did, it's the, I guess you go, okay, well, you can look at someone and go, well, that was ruining their life. I don't want to do that. But then also it's like, nobody taught me coping mechanisms.
Yeah, no. So that's what you go to, and you go to what's comfortable and what you know every time when things get rough. That's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
You don't want to, like, when shit's going rough and you're not having a good time, you're not like, oh, well, maybe I want to try this new thing. You go back to comfort. Everyone runs back to comfort. It's just human nature. It's in our
DNA. Yeah, it's like what makes you.
It's in us.
Yeah, it's like what makes you feel
better, and you know it. And it's like your blankie when you're a kid. You know it. You know it's going to give you comfort. You know maybe it hasn't been washed in a year and a half or whatever, but you know it's going to be there for you, and you know it's comforting. So that's something you could fall back on. But then in that, you also get stuck in this, like, this is the only way this manifests in your brain is this is the only way that I can find comfort instead of branching out and trying new things.
New things. You go like, this is the thing I do. This is what makes me.
Yeah.
Do you hit certain points with stuff like that? Even with like, because I don't know if you would go through, if you were like what I imagine Mom was when she was not clean and sober, I think that she would just like try anything. Just give it. But did you have like preferences?
For drugs?
Yeah. Like, did you go through different periods of, like, at this point drugs. In my life, I was doing like a lot of this drug.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it just like what was available, or was there any aspect of what am I trying to?
It was more.
Was there like a point with different drugs where you're like, this has stopped working? Like, yeah. This no longer brings me comfort.
Yeah, there is.
Is like, that when you would move on, or were you like
something new? Yeah. Are you just like
do more?
Yeah, you do more, or you find something else. Like, there's a progression when you're an addict where, you know, some things you start out smoking them. Like, I started smoking heroin.
Yeah.
And then that wasn't really working anymore. So I tried snorting it, and that wasn't really working anymore. So I moved on to like more powerful things. Yes, kids, there's more powerful things than heroin.
What are they?
Oxymorphone, hydromorphone.
Love.
Yeah, I mean, love is a really big drug. Love is a drug.
Yeah, it is. Really, I mean, is. What else have you sucked a dick for?
Yeah,
so.
For real. Come on. I mean, I know some people who, I don't know, another podcast. But anyway, so yeah, there's, I mean, you just run to what you know. And like, unfortunately for me, that's what I knew would bring me comfort and like, you know, a little bit of happiness. But when you're an addict, you're making a lot of problems for yourself, and you don't realize, and you're like, well, I'm just going to do this, and it's going to make me feel happy just to get through the day instead of fixing the bigger
the problem.
You want to
you're
want
bearing it with
solution.
Like getting rid of the feeling that it's causing.
Yeah, and you want to suppress them way down deep where they belong.
Were there points where you were like, I mean, I imagine like awareness isn't necessarily that easy when you're deep into an addiction, but were there points where you were in the middle of, you know, doing drugs and you were like aware it wasn't working, but you're like, keep using, hoping that feeling you used to get would
come back? Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I do that with food.
Yeah.
Food is such a lame drug.
No, it's not. It's a
real addiction, but it's like, I hit a point where I was like, oh, are you eating shitty food used to make me at least like have this temporary spike of, I feel better. And now I'm like, I don't even feel better.
Yeah. And you won't. And it's the same thing with drugs. I mean, you either have to do more or just find more powerful drugs. Like,
or just learn to cope with.
Yeah, or learn to fucking, instead of trying to stuff your feelings deep down.
Just go like, these feelings
are normal and I'm not weird for feeling them. And you just have to accept them where they are. And you'll like, you not only will you like grow from not doing drugs, you'll grow as a person just realizing like some of these feelings are fucking dumb. Like, you just worry about things that you shouldn't worry about. You can't control other people, places, or things.
Yeah.
So there's no sense in putting a lot of stock or investing a lot of time into trying to do that.
Like, worrying so much about like what's going to happen,
yeah,
or like,
or what
the things that are outside of your control.
Yeah, there's only certain things you can control, and the biggest thing you can control is fucking you.
Yeah.
Like, you got this vessel and you have a chance. Like, that's a lot more than some people get.
Yeah.
So you got to learn to fucking control your vessel. Otherwise, you're fucking driving all fucked up on drugs and alcohol, just running a warpath into the grave, man. You don't want to do
that. Were you, man, so was a lot of, I probably already asked this, but do you think a lot of your use was like suppressing, where was I trying to go with this? Okay, so as far as emotions, a lot of people use drugs, alcohol to like suppress emotions. Do you think, were there emotions that you were trying to suppress that you felt like you were abnormal?
No.
Or you just you just didn't want them.
I just didn't want to have them. Like, or like, I was in a relationship with someone and I was like, well, this has obviously gone its course, but it was, you know, is what I knew at that moment in my life. And I was like, well, it's just easier to just, you know,
stay
act like I don't feel like I feel and just get high on drugs and pretend like that I still care about this person who drives me absolutely fucking bananas.
Yeah.
But, you know,
instead of like making a change.
Yeah, instead of changing it, because you're like, well, you get comfortable where you're at. You're like, well, this is okay. I can come home from work and I can deal with her shit for a couple hours and she goes to bed.
Yeah. And change is scary.
It does. Change is new and no one likes new. You just get like, it's like a blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Just like that blanket. Well, I think there's not enough, people don't get enough credit for. I feel like, I don't know, maybe this is changing for like people who are having kids now, but I feel like we grew up and we're socialized with this idea of relationships, this like fall in love forever. So when a relationship starts to fizzle, you like want to hold on to it because we have been conditioned to think that a relationship ending is a failure. So I just feel like there's not enough credit for like the bravery of people who go like, I'm gonna end this.
I'm gonna start something new and like,
because it's hard. You're gonna hurt somebody, and it hurts even if you're the one who knows you need out and wants out. That's still painful.
Yeah, you don't want to like hurt the other person, or I mean, sometimes people.
You're like,
do
but this isn't the best. I don't think so. I don't
think
people
do.
No, I think people are fucked up and they have terrible ways that like they don't have good ways of handling their emotions, and so they end up hurting people. I believe that nobody has bad intentions.
Okay.
They just don't know.
I believe that
they're just like a, like some people are just tornadoes and they don't know. They're so overwhelmed by their own emotions that it like pours out to people around them, and like they end up hurting people for sure. But I don't think anyone's like, can't wait to hurt this person.
I disagree. I think there's a certain variety of person.
Are they on drugs and do you owe them money?
No. Sometimes. But, I mean, there's a certain variety of person, like your garden variety psychopath that might not want to, like, murder a small child.
Well,
like, when you hurt them, they're scorned and they take it personally. And then they make it, like, kind of their mission to just fuck your life up.
Maybe.
I think, I'm not saying it's a big part of the population.
Yeah, no, I think that there maybe is, like, a small percentage of people who, yeah, for sure have, like, psychological disorders.
Yeah, and they never dealt with it, and then when you hurt them, they're like, I'm gonna fucking hurt you.
Yeah,
even if you don't do it, you don't willingly hurt them, like you're not meaning to, but you're just like, hey,
but they take it personally. Yeah, well, that's why it's so personally important for people to learn that, like, almost nothing is personal.
No.
Like when people go like, you know, someone will say something. I'm okay, full disclosure, I am taking a course in cognitive behavioral therapy counseling, but like how to do it. But yeah, I think that it was this interesting concept that they brought up in the class was that, like, I cannot offend you no matter what I say, nothing. I am not in charge of you getting offended. You are.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's like people need to learn. So someone can say something and then it brings up emotions in you, but you need to learn, okay, why is this bringing up emotions in me? And that's part of like the growth of like just emotional development and trying to become more healthy as a person is like learning to recognize things that will bring up emotions and how to like figure out if that's a real thing or if it's, you know, from a past, whatever.
Experience,
and like,
yeah.
I don't know what the point of that was. I rambled. Humble brag. Okay. So where you're at now, do you have moments where you're like, fuck, I want to drink, I want to do drugs? Do you ever have moments of...
I mean, sometimes, but I mean, like, I did learn this in AA when I went with Mom and Terry, very nice man named Duncan. He would always
say... Anonymous. Oh, whatever.
His first name is Duncan.
It's fine, okay.
His last name is McLeod. He's the fucking Highlander, okay? So there he goes. Anonymous is gets. It's not real. But anyway, Duncan would say, you know, he'd bring it up in a lot of AA meetings, and it was the thing he latched onto when he's being sober, and he said, I got to play the tape all the way through. And just realize that if that temporary comfort is going to be there, or is it going to fuck everything up and make it worse? Like, you
yeah.
know? So that like 10 minutes or an hour or a day worth of, you know, comfort, is it going to bring like a fucking hurricane later on? Which in my case, most definitely.
100%.
It's going to bring a fucking tsunami.
Yeah.
Because when I fucking do it, I go off the rails. And then I don't stop until I almost die, because that's just who I am.
That's your stop
sign.
Go
hard or go home, kids.
God. Everyone go home.
Yeah, please.
Wow. So, like, I imagine, well, you must, because you're a human, like, you still have moments where uncomfortable emotions come in.
I do, but, like, I've learned that, like, music in this, I don't think music gets enough credit as a drug. And it should, even though...
Oh, it's a coping mechanism. It's like a way to shut off.
Definitely a coping mechanism. But, I mean, it can also make you feel things that, like, other drugs can't. Trust me, I've done a lot of drugs, okay? And usually they just suppress emotions. But if you're open to them, like, music is probably one of the greatest things. It can open your eyes to, like, why maybe you feel that way. Or if you're feeling that way, that it's okay to feel that way. Like, it's okay to be sad, and it's okay
yeah.
to fucking... be depressed. People get depressed all the time. If anybody's happy all the time, they're on drugs.
Okay? They're a psychopath.
Psychopaths, if they're happy, what are they going to do? Like, buy people puppies? Like, a psychopath kills people when they're unhappy. They're not,
I
like,
think, well, I don't know.
There's no healthy psychopaths. They're like, you know what? You seem like you're having a bad day. Here's a dog.
No, I don't think there are healthy psychopaths, but I think there are people who arguably could be psychopaths and nobody knows that they're unhealthy because they're happy all the time.
Definitely. Yeah, that's strange.
Or like, they're outward.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no one should be happy all the time. I have a bit where I talk about that, but it's like, you're the real fucked up person.
Yeah, no one I've ever met.
But then there's that line of like, what is, you know, clinical depression versus, yeah, no, you're like, how many people are diagnosed with depression when what they should be diagnosed with is like acute awareness of the world around you?
Yeah, I mean,
and it's a shitty place sometimes.
It is. It, it's unfair, and it's just, that's life, man. If you realize that and you have your eyes open going into that, then a lot of things, A, probably won't offend you that much, and B, it's not, doesn't feel like such a personal attack.
Yeah, you're like, this is just the way
this
it is.
This is just the way things are.
And you just have to let the those feelings come and then pass.
Yeah, and they
it's
will
just,
pass.
Well, it's just learning to tread the water of going, like, knowing that, here's what, because I'm at the point where, because I've done a lot of meditation, and, like, I work on myself pretty actively. So I've hit the point of, like, being aware that emotion, every emotion passes. So now, like, yesterday I had a bunch of anxiety, and I was like, okay, this is anxiety. It feels shitty, but it's not, I'm not going to feel like this for the rest of my life. No. Just have to, like, ride it out. But then it's like, boy, knowing that doesn't make this feel any less shitty.
No, it doesn't. But knowing it's going to pass is,
but like, it's like treading water versus like drowning.
Exactly. You start freaking out about some, you know, minor indiscrepancy, or even if it's major, you start freaking out about it. All you're going to do is make it worse.
Yeah. And then it's like, especially if you can't identify where the emotion's coming from, because I still think that's a thing I have to work on. It's like,
yeah,
are you going to take it out on someone who
doesn't deserve it?
Doesn't deserve it.
Are you going to find the person who broke your heart and make them pay?
And like, make them pay.
For real.
I'm not a make them pay. I'm let go and move on. Yeah.
Live and learn and fucking get the fuck out.
Yeah, just
disappear.
Sail away.
Yeah. So,
on to the next adventure.
If you know that, then that's really helpful, like, dealing with just life in general. Like, instead of, like, being like, well, I don't like this, or I don't think things are going my way, or I'm going to be like this forever. Just go in with, you know what, man, you had a tough day, dude. Chalk it up to fucking having a bad day and fucking get better and do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just like, all right. You fell down, get back up.
Yeah, for real. What are you going to do? Stay down?
Walk it off.
Walk it off, man. Walk it off. And you can. You can walk almost anything off. I mean,
barring
polio, I don't think you can walk.
Physical injuries, but.
Yeah, but emotional damage is some people argue.
I don't think walking it off is actually the solution.
No,
but it's like,
not. But
you just got to, like,
you got to learn to deal with it. And,
well, and it's like you. The,
not
you
let it control you is
yes,
the
and,
best way.
And also know that, like, things happen that will bring up unpleasant emotions, but you have to let those emotions come up.
Yeah.
You like, do. You have to go like, oh, I'm going to be like, yeah, it sucks that you're sad, but you have to be sad for
yeah,
a little bit.
Otherwise,
you know?
You're going to stuff it deep down, and then it's just going to turn into, like, full-blown, all-the-time depression, your good
yeah.
old friend, which you don't want.
Yeah, that's
just
like,
deal with it, or you're going to stuff it somewhere deep down, and eventually that shit's going to erupt like a volcano and
yeah.
just fucking take you over.
That's what a therapist once said. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a volcano.
Yeah.
And then it manifests in, like, deep emotional issues
and super unhealthy ways of like,
yes and also like I've said this a million times, but like I think it also comes out with your physical health too.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, stress causes heart problems. I really think that my autoimmune stuff stemmed from emotional suppression, and I think, I don't know, I mean, there's things as like people's back pain sometimes, it's like, actually that's
yeah, is that where you carry your heartache or dismay is in your back? Or
yeah,
because
you tend to, you don't even realize how much you're like holding.
Like, I have a weird theory, like chakras, they like a lot of people believe in chakras. And like, I believe that like some people just, that's where their emotional pain goes. It just,
yeah.
you know, it goes to your heart, it goes to your back, it goes to your feet or whatever. And you're just not dealing with it. And your body's like, we got to fucking do something with this.
Yeah, it's like causing chaos. Well, that's why I've been trying to make a joke. Which I'm, I guess, now running in this episode, but like, well, no, about, because I've been trying to joke about my autoimmune disease for a couple of years, but like, because it's, you know, it's your own immune system
yeah.
attacking. So it's like, I'm trying to find a way to concisely say what autoimmune diseases come from, like, years of going like, no, like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything.
Right.
And your cells are like, it's not fine.
We're not
Why
okay.
Why do you keep saying it's fine? Everything is really bad.
We're fucked up.
Say
we're
that
angry.
It's really bad.
Right. Just tell everyone. Now, if you could, like, what
I'm
if that
so
was
sorry,
a superpower? Like, you could harness your autoimmune disease and be like, if you could just attack my, like, fat cells instead of my joints, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, but it's instead I'm constantly stressed, so it releases cortisol and I create more
problems for
like
yourself.
Visceral fat.
Yeah, you're like, fucking goddamn it, man.
The heart disease kind. Yay.
Yeah, yay. Good times. Everybody loves a good heart disease.
But you know, just I gotta keep working on it. Meditating, yoga, all the froofy foo-foo stuff.
Yeah, and work on yourself.
I think works.
Man. Like, have like self-conversations.
Yes, also like stop. Yeah. It's okay to like take a look at yourself. That's
yeah.
that is what I think is a little bit of the benefit of like a 12-step program. If that's not something you even because
thought about.
Once you start doing it, it seems, I mean, it's like anything, you know your colors, you know your shapes. It seems like common knowledge
yeah,
once it's in your brain.
You know what's going on in your own head.
But some people don't think like nobody told them to like make evaluate yeah, yourself.
Personal inventory. That's a big thing in Alcoholics Anonymous and NA. Like,
yeah, well,
make
and
a
it's
personal inventory. You don't have to be in a fucking 12-step program to make a personal inventory.
Yeah, and it's hard to get past the ego to like look past
yourself.
Like, the thing that your ego tries to protect you by like giving you this like cookie cutter version of yourself that you repeat in your head.
Yeah, and you're like, no, everything's good. Everything's fine. When it's not, and it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, like it's okay to have moments where you're not great.
Yeah.
I mean, where you're really bad even.
Yeah, it's okay to fucking get depressed sometimes. It's okay to be sad, but it's when you just like, I don't want to say give up because that seems like such a trivial word, but like it's when you just let all of that just implode on you and you're just like, this is what I am. I'm a sad, angry bitch now.
Yeah.
Like you don't want
to
do
that. Well, that's the issue with, not the issue. I think I had trouble with that. Now that I've started getting like emotionally healthier, I'm in like this, like I, weird identity crisis of like,
who am I?
Yeah, well, because I was sad for so long that like I didn't realize I had started to identify
as just as sad. Girl,
like it's like, no, you are feeling sad, but I am not a sad person. Yeah. But like you attach to that emotion.
Yeah, you're like, that's because it's comfortable. Just that brings well, and us it's back like, to like your blanket. It's yeah, comfy and you know it.
Yeah, well, it's like the same with positive emotions, negative emotions. Like I think a lot of it is like learning to not attach.
Yeah.
To emotions is going like, I'm feeling this. It is not who I am.
Exactly. And that's where people get a line like skewed. I think they're like, well, I want to feel like this all the time. And you can't feel like that all the time.
No, it's the same. It's the, and I mean, this is what I learned when I did my 10-day Vipassana meditation course, silent meditation. But like, it's all about not attaching impermanence, but it's for positive and negative emotions. It's like, if you have a bad emotion come up, it's not being averse to it. Not pushing down. I'm not sad. It's like, no, I'm sad. It's happening. But the same thing with, you know, happiness, feelings of elation, going, trying to chase that feeling. You can't. You just got to let it happen. Nope. It's there. Have it. And then it's going to go away. But like, you can't chase the dragon.
No, you
with
can't.
Emotions either.
You can't. And that's a big part of drug addiction. Is you're chasing this euphoria that you feel like the first time.
Like you never want to come down.
Exactly. And that's
what I'm saying is, and I literally just tweeted about mushrooms and be like, well, because there was a post about the FDA is, did you see this, by the way?
No, I didn't.
They are streamlining, like they're fast pacing research on
psilocybin mushrooms?
Psilocybin
really?
For treating depression.
I've been saying this shit for years.
Oh,
man.
Me too.
You want to get in touch with yourself, man.
I
go
quote tweeted it. I was like, told y'all. And then I was like, countdown until I disappear into the star, to the star from whence I came forever and never come back.
Right. Where's Jessica? She's walking Joshua Tree. She's been out there about 10 years.
Well,
now.
That was like a crisis I had the like second or third time I did mushrooms. I've only done it 3 times.
Really?
I just can't remember which time. Yeah. Oh. No, but it's like, I only want to do, I've done it 4. And one time I was in Vegas and I was like, this is bad.
Yeah,
because
no.
I want to be
sometimes
in a desert alone.
Alone.
I don't want the
big thing alone.
You don't want stimulation around you. Oh God, what a nightmare.
It's super bad.
But like the day after I was like, had that kind of shitty, you get like a mushroom hangover kind of, but I was trying to figure out like why I love them so much. And I realized that I was like, because I have chronic pain. I had this like,
epiphany.
I don't want to call it a horrifying moment. It was an epiphany. And yeah. I was like, oh I'm not in pain when I'm on mushrooms. Like, I didn't realize I was always in pain until that moment. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm always in pain.
Yeah. Whether it's emotional.
But then I was like, ooh, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
and I have. It's been like 2 years since I've done them because I was like, I will do them again.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. But I mean, if they're doing research, like, I'm curious what the long-term effects of like microdosing are, because that's what I worry about, is becoming like a
mushroom addict.
Not even an addict, but like having it like permanently damage my brain.
Okay, but I mean, there's research. They even did a fucking episode of House on it where
if it's on House, it's true.
Yeah, definitely. Hugh Laurie, totally a king.
Remember when he found the tick in the woman's vagina?
Yeah. But this was an episode of House, and this guy was having cluster headaches. And the thing that was helping him, and he's like, well, let's try psilocybin mushrooms. And they had, like, capsules. And, like, I've made these capsules before.
Of course you have.
Yeah, you just grind up the mushrooms and you put
it in a pill.
A gram in a pill, so you don't have to taste the mushrooms. You can just swallow it down.
Someone
like you should do
might
with your
even
emotions.
Have them in their freezer.
Yeah. Seriously, like, you keep them in your freezer and then you just take one, not when you're feeling down, but, like, when you feel like you're lost and don't know where to go or where your life's going. You just come to a point where you're like, I've hit a wall, like, as a person.
I think they're great for like spiritual emotional growth.
Yeah, they really are.
Because it's like deep in your brain, I think you already have all those answers, and this
helps unlock them.
What I think it does, and I'm not, this is not, I'm not saying anything that's revolutionary. I'm sure it's been said a million times in different ways, but like, it makes you able to, it's sort of like clears out the junk around us that we're always, the little things we focus on that aren't that important.
Yeah.
It like makes your mind go like expand into, in a way that like you're able to have those thoughts more clearly.
Yeah. You're able to focus on what's really important, and it opens
without
the
like, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Yeah. The little like everyday anxieties.
That shit gets gone when you're tripping your nuts off. Like you're just focused on like what's important. Like what am I? Like you get down to like the brass tacks, as stupid as that sounds, of your soul.
Like what does anything really mean?
What is and what isn't?
And like, then you realize love is the answer, and then you cry all the time. But it's like a therapeutic cry.
Yeah, one of those good
that's
ones.
That's where I am anyway.
It's what I needed. It's what I needed.
I love you guys.
Yeah, so much.
That's
why it's important to do them alone, because then you could like confess your love for something and then someone takes it personally. So I've had this happen before.
Oh,
like,
no.
On a fucking crazy mushroom roll. Like, been like, you know what? I just love life and like you guys and you and you. And I'm just like, you know, you go individually and be like,
and they're
this
like,
is what I love.
You said you loved me.
Yeah. And then like a week later, like, hey, remember when we were fucking frying nuts and you were like, hey, you love me? And I was like, okay, first of all, that was like a group setting, and
I meant like
individually addressed everyone.
When I said I love you, I meant like the universal you.
Yes, like not just
I meant you people.
Yeah.
Wait.
What do you mean you people? For real. But I mean, it's a mushrooms, I think, is something that everyone should try at least once.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like it's gonna fucking open some uncomfortable doors, like, and it's gonna also maybe help you grow from those areas where you don't know what to
do. Yeah, well, it's like it helps you go into those uncomfortable emotions that you've been suppressing
forever. And you're like, wow, man, this is some fucking...
I love that I started this episode and now I'm like advocating like everyone should try this drug.
For real. It's inside addiction. Like, yeah. Drugs. They're good. And they're bad.
That's what you said on the last... I don't know if you remember, but the last episode you were like, well, the problem with drugs is that they work.
Yeah. I mean, they
That's
do.
That's why there's such a... But...
It's
anyway.
True. Drugs can do amazing things in the right doses, and they can also do
I mean, it's literally like
things.
What pharmaceutical companies are doing, both good and bad.
Yeah, but I mean, pharmaceutical, you got to understand with a pharmaceutical company, their main objective is to make money by selling drugs.
Yeah,
so
which is
whatever,
slippery slope.
Whatever the efficacy of that drug is, they want you to take more. They want you to take more.
They want you to need more. They want you to spend more money.
Otherwise, they're not making any fucking money.
Yeah.
They're like, do it once and then see how you feel. And then, you know, sometimes, like with mushrooms, it's hard to market that. You don't want to be tripping all day. I've tripped for 4 days one time. Not
good
a fun thing.
Christ.
Not a good time.
Did you eat it all?
Huh? I was on other stuff though.
Oh,
like,
I'm not. I'm
festival.
Never. I wasn't hungry when I did that because I, you know, it was like maybe like three or four hours. Yeah.
No, this was acid, mushrooms, Molly,
Jesus
mescaline.
Christ. Mescaline.
Yeah. My buddy Marilyn's mom.
Hillbilly.
Shout out Linda. Love you, girl.
Okay. So moving forward, we sort of talked about this, but we'll wrap up on it. What's your goal? Just.
To get like.
Do you have like a big goal, or is it just like right now I just want to get a job?
I want to get a job and get comfortable and then see where I feel like how I feel in like a year after doing it. Cause you know, you get a new job, you have the excitement of like, yeah, this is.
I have a job.
Yeah, I have a job. I have money coming in. Hooray. You know, and that's all well and good. I was thinking about this while I was moving a mountain this morning. Like.
That's what he calls pooping.
Yeah, but like you get. You start to get bitter after a while doing the same thing. And then where it becomes just like a countdown to when you're done doing it.
Yeah.
You don't look at it as like, okay, well, I get to go do this every day. And
it's the same as a relationship.
Exactly. It is a relationship. It's just a relationship with work.
With work, yeah.
Yeah. And you, over time, it wears on you. But the thing to do to not get that to happen is to, A, keep it interesting and just do it how you want to do it. Like, don't let people tell you, oh, this is the way you should do this and you should do this different. Be like,
well, if it's
fun.
Your job,
yeah, okay,
you should listen
job,
to your boss.
You have certain curriculum that you have to follow or whatever, but you don't want to be the person who's just looking to retirement. You want to get up and enjoy
what you have. Yeah, the people who, yeah, it's like enjoy the present. That's all you really get.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So just enjoy what you're doing now and put everything you got into it.
So you don't have, okay. So there's no specific plan, just get on your feet and live in the moment.
Yeah, definitely live in the moment and just enjoy life. Like, people get so caught up with what's going on around them that they forget to enjoy life.
Like what's right in front of them.
Yeah,
like what's,
exactly.
Don't miss the forest for the trees.
That's right. And if you don't slow down and smell the roses every once in a while, that's a great movie.
Closing thoughts.
Don't do drugs. They're bad.
All right, you guys. That's the end of our episode. Thank you for tuning in to the follow-up. Thanks, Tom.
Peace out, girls.
Love you.
Love you, too.